chapter 2. Book of Matthew, chapter 2. I want to preach on this thought tonight. We are continuing with the theme, Unwrapping Christmas. And I want to preach at least one more message in this series out of Matthew chapter 2 called The Worship at Christmas. The Worship at Christmas. We're very familiar with the story about the wise men. We want to read verses 1 through 3 and then verses 8 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And we realize that he went and asked his scholars, where will the Christ child be born? They said he'll be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We're going to pray right now. We're going to preach on the worship at Christmas. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, for your many blessings. Father, I pray for families that are going through bereavement, that, Father, you might comfort them and extend peace to them. Lord, I pray for these that have sickness, God, that you might provide healing and strength for them. Father, I ask, Lord, you'd help them to overcome and to be victorious. Lord, I pray most importantly for the sin sick, those that are in need of salvation, that, Father, you would speak to their heart through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. Now, Father, I ask that you would help us then to preach tonight. Lord, would you empty us of our sin? Would you empty us of self? And would you fill us with your Spirit? Lord, I know you would not feel a dirty vessel. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that we'd be an instrument that is fit for the Master's use. Help us tonight, God, I pray, then to deliver the word. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. When you look at Matthew chapter 2 and you see in verse number 2, the wise men, when they come into Jerusalem, the Bible says, we are come to worship him. Amen. And then we saw that Herod came in verse number 8 and he said, when you found him, bring me word again and that I may come and worship him also. Herod's not going to worship. He's talking about worshiping, but he's not going to worship. Rather, he's going to murder. He's going to destroy. I wonder, are there people that talk about worship, but their intent is not to worship at all? If he's going to do any worship, it's of the flesh. It's a worship of hypocrisy. Lord have mercy. How many times do we have worship on our sign down there, and how many times do we really have a worship service? It says worship at 11 a.m. Do we worship at 11 a.m. every Sunday? Well, I hope we can worship him every day of the week. But Herod's words of worship were filled with flesh and hypocrisy. But the wise men still worship Jesus. Verse number 11 says, when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Hey, didn't worship her, they worshiped him. Thank God, wise men still worship Jesus. Why? Because he's sovereign God. Why? Because he is our Savior. Thank God. Well, real quick, then I have 5 points, and you guys be ready because we're going to move fast through these first 5 points. What do wise men do? What do wise men do? They worship at Christmas. In fact, they worship all the time. My wife, this was her quote from this Christmas season. She said, Christmas is not just a day. Christmas is a condition of the heart every day. Amen. They ought to take her picture and put that in quotes. Amen. That is the truth. Okay. Number one, We're going to worship. Notice their coming in verse number 11. When they were come into the house, they have been following a supernatural star, I believe was the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. They've been following for at least 2 years, and they came to the house where the young child was. They came personally. You know what they did when they worshiped? They came publicly. Now, I know a lot of us say, well, I can worship at the house. Aren't you glad the wise men didn't worship at the house? Aren't you glad the wise men didn't say, I'm going to phone this one in. I'm going to get on the internet and I'm going to worship Jesus from here. Aren't you glad they followed the star for 2 years and sacrificed and went through difficulty and hardship and overcame and even stood before a wicked Herod seeking he that is born king of the Jews? Aren't you glad they came publicly and they came personally to worship? I don't say wise men still worship publicly. And personally, amen. I'm glad there's been a moment in my life, at least one, where I came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there's been more than one, amen. But I'm glad when I came to worship him, I could worship him publicly. Amen. Number two, notice with me their consciousness in verse 11. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They saw, they were conscious of who they were worshiping. They did not worship his mother. They worshiped the young child, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Got to be careful who you worship. Worship Jesus. Wise men still worship Jesus. I think that's important, y'all, that we worship Jesus. They're not just worshiping any God. They're not worshiping a golden calf. They're not worshiping a chocolate-covered insect. They're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, I've had an out-of-body experience. Listen, worship, you're conscious of who you worship. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Matthew 5, verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Do you think the wise men saw God? Oh, wait a minute, Preacher Darren. I don't think any man can see God and live. That is until the Lord Jesus Christ had an embodiment, amen, where the God tabernacled as a man, manifest himself as a man. Oh, thank God for that. Listen what David said in Psalm 119, verse number 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. They were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and they were conscious of who they saw. Why do you come to church on Sunday? Do you come to worship the Lord Jesus? Well, you're not going to see him physically, but we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Number three. Notice with me their consecration in their worship. Read verse 11 again. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. They recognized this young child, Jesus, was God. Wise men still worship the Lord. We recognize his supernatural birth. We recognize his sinless life. We recognize his sacrificial death. We recognize his sovereign resurrection. Hey, notice their consecration. They were consecrated to the Lord. Number four, notice their commitment. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. A penny, a nickel, and a dime. No. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They opened their treasures. They gave out of their abundance, not out of their pocket. Not just some loose change they had laying around. They didn't just tip him like they would tip the waiter or the waitress. In fact, I might just take time out before I get on the offering and say a lot of you will tip a waiter or a waitress 15, 18, 20, 25%. What do you give God? These wise men opened and presented to him their treasures. Hey, listen, he doesn't need your dollar or your $100,
You know what he really wants? He wants you. That you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen? He wants you to present yourself, not just part of you. He wants all of you. Do you see their commitment? They're committing unto the Lord their worship. They're committing unto the Lord their service. Thank God for it. Gold for a king. He's King of Kings. Frankincense for a God. He is holy, sovereign, almighty God. And myrrh, that which is used to anoint a body that has died or has gone through suffering and sorrow. It has to be crushed for you to get its sin and its value. Hey, Jesus was crushed. That myrrh was a picture of the death. He would die as a man. What about that? Well, number five, and I'll be done. Say, preacher, Darren, number five, notice their continuance. The Bible says in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Wise men come to Christ, and when they do, they'll leave another way. You'll get that in a minute. I remember the night I got saved. I came in one way and I left another way. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? He's changed me. I came in by sight. I left by faith. Thank God for it. Wise men, they comply with the continued direction that God gave them. Will you hear me for a minute? There should never be a time when a wise man stops obeying and worshiping and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There should never be a time. I've seen so many people that God gets them to a crisis and I don't see them again until they have another crisis. The Lord wants when you worship Him and serve Him, He wants you to continue with Him that He may give you revelation and direction and leadership and counsel. He wants you to worship every day. They came consciously, consecrated, they were committed, and now they're going to have revelation. They're warned of God and they're led of God to go a different way. Now, tonight, here we are. Wise men of hope come to search and seek and worship and serve God. And we're supposed to search the scriptures. And I see a little more here in this thing about continuance. If we're going to continue, I'm going to continue this sermon. And I'm going to give you point number A now. I want us to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. I'm trying to be obedient to what God gave me. Philippians chapter 2. I want us to see His cradle. Look with me in verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Preacher Darren, his cradle, well, I'm thinking about his birth. How many of y'all realize that Jesus was before he was ever born? Amen. He was God before he was ever born. Amen. Amen? Look with me again in verse number 6. Who being in the form of God. Form, that the word form in the Greek is the word morph. M-O-R-P-H-E, morph. It's not just a physical shape. It is a essential nature. It is the divine characteristics and attributes of Almighty God. He was in the form of God. In eternity past, Jesus is God. I have some proof texts to read in John chapter number 5, verse number 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That tore some people up. When he said, I and my Father, look at John chapter 10.
You're close. John chapter 10, verse number 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. We're not just equal, we're one. Amen. In eternity past, Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Back to our text, Philippians chapter 2. He was in the form of God, and the Bible says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal. And I just read to you some proof texts in John 5 and out of John chapter 10. The word equal is a Greek word, is isos. Isos. What does that mean? Well, I'm a math teacher. Isosceles triangles. It means two sides that are equal. That's important. God and Jesus, isos. They are equal sides. Woo! They're not just about the same. They are equal the same. That's important. So when it says that Jesus is equal with God, it's because that in all ways, he is God. There's never a time that Jesus was not God. And yet, listen, when he came to earth to be born of the virgin, I'm a math teacher, it was not about subtraction. He didn't lay down his deity. No, no, no. He didn't lose any of his deity. It's not subtraction. It's not division. He didn't lose any of his power. But there's addition. He picked up the form of a human body. Okay? The addition of that human body that God manifests himself in. Listen, he's omniscient. What does that mean? He is all-knowing. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? He is all-powerful. He's omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. Hey, glory to God. Now look again. He thought it not robbery. What is robbery? What does that mean? It's taking something that doesn't belong to you. It still is, whether people out there want to believe it or not. Robbery is when you take something that's not yours. That's what it is. Listen, Jesus Christ did not rob equality with God. It belonged to him the whole time. Hey, man, he was in the form of God, and he's equal with God. And look, he's willing to lay all of that down if he needs to, that he might come to this earth, and in one moment of time, he lays down the robes of glory in heaven and picks up swaddling clothes in a manger or a cradle. I'm just using the word see, a cradle. He left the praises of the heavenly to lay in a feeding trough surrounded with the smell of urine and of swine. In a moment, the Lord Jesus Christ has come down to a cradle, if you will. Now look with me in verse 7. We're going to go from the cradle to the cross. Letter C, verse number 7. But he made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? That when Jesus was born, he emptied himself. What does that mean? Did he lay down his deity? Did he lay down the characteristics and the attributes of Almighty God in verse number 7? Oh no. It means that when he was born, he didn't appear to be God, though he was God. Are y'all okay? He's full man and full God. No, Preacher Darren, I mean, one whole, it means he's got to be half man, half God. Oh no, honey, he's not half man and whole God. He's full man and full God. Hey, glory to God. I'm getting excited. I feel preaching stirring in me already. Now think about it with me. The Bible says that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That means in the likeness of men that Jesus went through the same things that you and I go through. That's what it means. That's the wonderful thing about Christmas. It means that Jesus, who was equal with God, took upon himself the form of a human, and now he knows what you and I go through. As if, it's not as if he didn't already know, because he did. But now you and I can see it, that he's like us. When he came down, he knew what it's like to be mistreated. You ever been mistreated? You ever been lied about? You ever been talked about? Jesus knew all about it. He knows what it's like to be treated unkindly.
He knows what it's like to be tempted in all points, just like you and I are. He understood sorrow. He understood what it's like to lose a loved one. He broke his heart. The Bible says, and it's the first verse I ever learned, write this down, Jesus wept. And I still remember that verse today. He wept. He wept. My grandmother taught me, she said, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. He wept with those who were weeping. Amen. Oh, glory to God. He knew what it was like to suffer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, being in agony, his sweat became as great drops of blood. I've been in agony when I prayed before. There's been times when I hurt so bad, all I could do was say, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's all I can say. And the Holy Ghost said, he appeared before the Father and said, he said this, and this is what it means. Amen. Amen. That's what he does. He's God. Amen. Amen. That word worship is the word proskuneo. It is just like when you go home and your dog starts licking you on the hand over and over and over again. They're worshiping you. They're worshiping you. I came home today from the funeral, and guess who met me at the door? Your wife. No, my dog. She was there before my wife was there. And she was licking my hands. My wife wasn't licking my hands, but my dog was. She worships her master. Young, and if a dog can figure out how to worship a bad master, glory to God, why can we who've been redeemed from all of our sins, why can we not worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Why can we not kiss the Son? Amen. Yes, that woman in the Bible who stood behind him weeping, broken over her sorrow, broken over her sin. She washed his feet with her tears, and she let down her hair to begin to dry those tears back up. And as she did, my Bible said she kissed and kissed and kissed his feet. Oh my, how we ought to worship proskuneo. We ought to worship the Lord. Why? Because of his cradle. Why? Because of his cross. He has been tempted in all points, like as we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to suffer. He humbled himself. He was born to a poverty-stricken peasant girl named Mary and Joseph. He was raised in a little hick town. You think Spruce Pine's bad. He was raised in Nazareth. In fact, it's often recorded in Scripture. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Honey, Jesus did. Amen. He humbled himself. Listen, he handpicked 12 disciples. And those disciples were a constant source of heartache and brokenness. I mean, those boys were problem children. Every time you turn around, oh, I want to be the greatest. No, 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 me, pick me. I want to be the greatest. And we think we got problems. Amen. He devoted his life to those who were a constant problem to him. And yet when he came, he took blind people and gave them sight, and deaf people and gave them hearing, and lepers, and he gave them cleansing, and dead people he brought back to life. I mean, Lord God, look what he's done for me. Amen. He's cleansed my sin-stained spots. Amen. He's opened my eyes. He's opened my hearing. Thank God he saved me. I was dead in trespasses. I feel preaching stern. I was dead in trespasses and in sins, and he gave me life. Thank God for my Savior. Wise men still worship Jesus Christ, even at Christmas time. Now think with me. Verse number 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus was not forced to die on the cross. The Bible says he became obedient unto death. He was willing to die. He obediently died. Hear me very well. He is not under any obligation. He didn't die out of obligation. He died out of obedience. He did not have to die. You and I do. You and I are the ones who deserve to die. who have an appointment with death. But Jesus gave himself. He did die on the cross that we might be saved. He died that we might live and live eternally in a place called heaven. Thank God for my Savior. And a cross is not just something on a steeple. It's not just something on a necklace or on an earring. A cross is a place of suffering. A cross is a place of shame, humiliation, reproach. It's a place of pain. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, you turn there with me, just go left in your Bible, two books. Go back to Ephesians, go back to Galatians chapter 3. You got to see this. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. If you believe in underscoring in your Bible, please underscore this. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus was made a curse so I wouldn't have to die through the curse. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I didn't have to die that cursed death because Jesus was made a curse in my place, shedding his blood on the cross that I might be saved. Wise men still search the scriptures. Wise men still worship Jesus because of his birth, that cradle, because of his death upon that old cross. Amen. As he hung there on the tree from below, Satan assailed him and all his demons. From about him, people mocked him. They scorned him. They jeered at him. They ridiculed. They spat upon our Savior. From above, his heavenly Father had to turn his back upon him. So much so that Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You may say, now, Preacher Darren, if they're equal with God, there's no way it could be separated from God. Well, I'll leave you theologians to decide that. But every time I see the word forsake in the Bible, it is that someone turned away and left someone in isolation. I used to coach a little baseball team when Luke was just a little fella. And one of the ball players there had stepped up to bat, had his helmet on, and he hung in there. And that pitcher tried to throw some version of a curveball. It came high and tight. It missed his helmet, hit him on the cheek. Bam! Knocked him right down to the ground. He was screaming. I ran out of the dugout. I put my arms up underneath him and pulled him up to me. I said, son, what's wrong? He said, I want my daddy. On the worst day of that little boy's life, who'd he want? He wanted his daddy. And I said, Lord, somebody go get his daddy out of the stands. And they came back and said, his daddy's went to Walmart. You see, as sad as that is, that little boy was hurting. When my Savior was made my sin, when he was bleeding and dying and reproached, his own father had to turn his back upon his own son. Because he was made my sin. He was made my curse words. He was made my actions. He was made my sinful deeds. He took those upon himself. He was made a curse so that I might have forgiveness. Woo! What a Savior, youngins. What a Savior. I ain't gonna apologize. I just love him tonight and I still worship him. Go back to our text. I'm rounding third base. Here we go. Look at verse number 9. I think about the cradle, the cross, and I think, see, about his crown. Verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. You know, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There's no name just like that name. You know, there was an old farmer and had a big farm, a lot of acreage and fenced off pastures, and a guy from the state drove up and he said, I'm here to inspect your property. We're seizing this section to build an interstate through it. And the farmer said, listen, whatever you do. He said, listen, here's my card. I'm from the state of North Carolina. This card says I can go anywhere I want to go. I can do what I need to do. I'm entitled and licensed by the state to be here. The person said, okay, suit yourself. But I was going to say, don't go in that field. He said, I'll go where I want to. Here's my card. And the farmer just turned his back and walked off. And the state man went out there with his survey and things, and he was sighting things up. And about that time, the farmer's bull saw him and lowered his head and pawed two or three times and took off running. And the state man seen him and started running for his life and scurried towards the fence. And he said, Mr. Farmer, help, help, your bull. And the farmer said, show him your card. You see, as great as the state of North Carolina is, it cannot stop a raging bull. But the name of Jesus can stop every demon in hell. Amen! He's given him a name which is above every other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Savior died on that cross. They buried him. They said, it is over. But thank God on the third day, up from the grave, whoop, my Savior rose, victorious over death, victorious over hell, and victorious over the grave. He's defeated Satan. And my stars tonight, youngins, if he can defeat the devil and sin and death, he'll have victory over my problems and your problems as well, if we'd give them to him. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, when Jesus left the splendor of heaven, he didn't have a one-way ticket. He had a round-trip ticket. Amen. Hey, glory. He said to the angels, I'll be back. And he left the splendor of glory, born in a little old manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lived a sinless life, miracle after miracle, great work after great work. But men rejected him and scorned him and crucified him. But he laid down his life, humbled himself, became obedient to death, that on the first day of the week, he might rise from the grave. And listen, youngins, he ascended back to heaven. And one day he's coming to get us and receive us unto himself, that we may be where he is. You may say, Preacher Darren, that's what a terrible, far crafted, concocted story. Honey, have you seen the heavens which my Savior's made? Have you seen all the Pollux and Sirius and all the different galaxies, my Savior? Listen, if he knew all that and create little old me, honey, he'd get me to be where he is. He's big enough, amen?
Amen.
Whew, hallelujah. Listen, one of these days, every knee's going to bow. One of these days, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why don't you confess now? July the 13th, 1978, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He saved me, a wicked old sinner, and he forgave my sins and adopted me and made me a child of the King. And I'll confess him from now on. I'll be glad to. But there are people today that will not humble themselves. They reject him. They spit at him still. They scorn him. They ridicule him. They want to take Christ out of Christmas and call it Xmas. They want to say, Happy Holidays. It's amazing. People don't want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't want anything to do with him. And honey, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when the Lord's going to rapture us home. After 7 years, there's coming a day when the Lord's going to come again and put his feet upon this earth and reign for 1,000 years of peace. The devil's going to get cut loose there for a little while. He's going to deceive nations. But the Lord will have final victory. And the devil will be defeated. And he'll be thrown in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Preacher, I don't believe it. Well, turn with me. Turn with me. I got a book I can show you in the book of Revelations, chapter number 19. Let's read about it. Revelations, I'm just taking my time now. Revelations 19:11, I saw heaven opened. and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His face, or his eyes, verse number 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. I just said one. I said cradle, cross, crown. But he's got many crowns. In fact, if you look the word up in the Greek, it's the word diadema. It's not one that he had to earn, not one that some man gave to him. It was his all along. Woo! Held on his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven fought him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Preacher Darren, will there be animals in heaven? Kids ask me all the time, will there be animals in heaven? I don't know. You're a theologian. Where'd he get them horses from? Hello? Oh, Preacher Dan, I'm afraid of horses. I preached a message on fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and of a sound mind. He's going to do something to you, and you're going to have a love for horses. And you're going to mount that horse, and you're going to say, giddy up, silver, and away you're going to go. And you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to ride down this earth, and he's going to open his mouth and defeat the devil, going to defeat the dragon, going to defeat the false prophet, going to defeat that old beast, that Antichrist. And I'm going to have a front row seat. Oh, preacher, I don't want to go to war. Honey, it's a fixed fight. It's already settled. It's already, I like fighting in them kind, amen. I'm safe, amen. Thank God for it. You can read the rest of that chapter. Read chapter 20 when you get home. There's coming a day that the devil himself, he's going to be escorted in. Can you see it? They're going to throw him down on his knees and say, confess. No, I'm not going to confess. I want more time. Confess. Down he goes. And you and I is going to be there. Yes. And he's going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. That old no good egg sucking devil that's giving me such a hard time, I'm going to watch it when and hear it when he has to admit Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm going to be there. And I promise you, I'm going to do some high stepping.
Yes, amen.
You don't believe in it here, you'll believe in it there.
Amen.
And then the Lord God Almighty is going to pick that devil up by the seat of his britches, if he's got any. And the Bible says, you know what his name means? Hurler. And the Lord's going to give him one, two, three. And he's going to hurl him, splat, into the lake of fire. Well, he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. And while the ages roll on, wise men will still be worshiping Jesus in heaven forever and ever and ever. Well, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad you came to church tonight. Worship at Christmas. You stand to your feet. There might be somebody here, you might want to just take the time to say one more time, Lord, this may be my last chance in 2021. Bow my knee and thank you for saving me and thank you for answering my prayer requests and thank you for being my Savior and thank you for being my Lord. God, I have some objects to lay before you. Would you come right now? Just be obedient. Amen. You're in the Father's house. Make yourself welcome. Just be obedient. I want to worship you, Lord. I want to thank you for your eternal plan. What a plan. What a plan. What a Savior. Father, this evening, I get excited about what you've done for me. And Lord, I praise you. I honor you. I glorify your most holy name. Father, you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You are Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Master, name above all names, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You're the quick, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Triumph, the unique one. You're the victory. You're the all-wise one and the witness. You're the excellent one. You are the Yahweh. You are zeal and the zenith of all my hope and expectation. Lord, you're the one that's beautiful. You're the Christ, the day star, the eternal one, the Father, the glory of God, the Holy One, Emmanuel, from A to Z. You are God, you are Savior, and I worship you. What a plan, what a purpose you have. God, how, why would you look down upon me and save the likes of me? It must be grace. It must, woohoo, glory. It must be mercy. What a Savior. And I worship you. Lord, there are needs. There are things that I'm told that are impossible. God, the things that are impossible to men are possible to you. Lord, I pray for your will. God, would you touch us? We worship you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray and confess you as our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.